Sheldon's totally out of his comfort zone learning how to drive. Eric and I were totally out of our comfort zone when Evan was learning how to drive, but he's doing good. So this is my comfy chair, by the way. It's soft, it's plush. It's a pretty teal color. It's my daughter's chair. I could sit in here for hours, although I probably would need some sort of, you know, chiropractic work afterwards. I think there's a reason the youngsters like these. But literally, this is like her nest. She could sit in here for hours. And I'm not kidding, hours. So we usually coax her out with burger and fries. And she comes out. But anyway, I got my water, I got my notes, so I could probably just like chat with you guys from here. But I'm kind of getting some weird looks. I'm sensing you're a little uncomfortable watching me be so comfortable, which in turn is making me uncomfortable. So I think you get the point. So I'm going to get out. This is a, I think they call this a papasan chair, a.k.a. death trap. Okay, hold on. Woo! Okay, super. Got it. All right. Well, good morning. I am Julie Butchton-Kirk. Yes, I'm married to the good-looking guy who did all the announcements beforehand. And excited to be doing week two of our new series, Slaying Giants, based on a book by Louis Giglio, really good book called Giants Must Fall, or Goliath Must Fall. And we're looking at these really big issues that we all have in our life, things like rejection, anger, fear, you know, comfort. And they're things that they keep us. They keep us from growing. They keep us from the power and the purpose and the presence of God in our lives. And that chair right there, one of the sneakiest giants. It's the giant that we don't even realize like is in our life until it's like boom, blocking our way. And we have no idea. And the reason, one of the reasons is because, you know, this giant of comfort, I mean, you know, it can be adorable. It looks like cute and cuddly, you know, like on the outside. But then if you were to try to remove it from your life, all of a sudden the claws come out and then you get what it really looks like. It's comfort and complacency. And comfort's a good thing, right? When you go to buy a sofa, you look for comfort. We like to be financially comfortable. I mean, I think all of us, right, we want a safe and comfortable life. Totally normal. The problem with comfort is that it grows into a giant when it begins to keep you from God's very best. In fact, in the book, Goliath Must Fall, this is how Louis Giglio states it. He said, trouble arises when the desire for safety and security becomes the dominant theme of our lives, when a relaxation mentality supplants our attentiveness to God's call on our lives. You know, so it's the giant, comfort is the thing that makes us really settle for good, you know, instead of the very best that God might have. When we lived in California several years ago, at this particular time in my life, my kids were 1 and 3, and Eric and I started going to this big church called Bayside. And it was about a 25-minute drive from our house, and they had announced that they were going to do a church plant in Lincoln, which is where we lived. And so we were super excited. We're like, yeah, we're totally on board. This will be great. It'll be, you know, close to home. And so we went to all the meetings where they talked about, hey, we're setting up a new church. We need help. Kind of like some of you I know have gone to the meetings. You know, Crosspoint is helping to launch a partner church, United City, in Indianapolis. And so I know some of you have gone to those meetings, and it's basically the exact same thing. You know, it was like, okay, we're starting this new thing. We need people to sing. We need people to greet. We need people to help with the kids. You know, you need everything, you know, every area to make Sunday morning happen. And so we went to one of the meetings, and the pastor had these yellow post-it notes on the wall, and it was all those areas. But one of the areas was also cleaning the bathrooms, because really cool. We were meeting in this like over 100-year-old building. It was a historic building, and it was actually a bar. It was like an old-time saloon with a brewery. And so all of our church materials in the back, we were like in one of the banquet rooms, and all the church materials were back on the bar, which was kind of, we thought it was pretty cool. So anyway, so I signed up to clean the bathrooms because I'm like, that's totally in my wheelhouse. I'm a stay-at-home mom with two little kids, you know, no brainer. And so Pastor Ed called me and he said, hey, I see you signed up to, you know, clean the bathrooms. Can we meet for coffee? I'm like, sure. And thought maybe he's going to, you know, do you know how to clean the bathrooms? You know, go over this with me. And he said, hey, I'm thinking of something different. He's like, I'm wondering, I really need somebody that's going to be able to start from scratch and lead a women's ministry. And I said, oh, okay. Never done that before, nothing close to it. I'm like, there's nothing on my resume for this here, you know. And I had a huge choice to make. I could have gone with the comfortable, right? It was like, but cleaning bathrooms, totally comfortable with that. You know, leading this, not so comfortable. I had a decision I had to make, and yet I did feel God's prompting. And I wrestled with it because it was like, well, this is going to be easy. Well, this is going to be hard. You know, this is going to require more of my time. It's going to stretch me. What if I look stupid? I don't know what I'm doing. Well, I chose the uncomfortable, and I chose to step out, and I said, okay, fine, I will do that. And I can honestly say that that decision just changed the trajectory of my faith, and it just opened doors and just began really, I feel like, where God began to lead me in the future. And I could have settled for what was good, right? But I felt God nudging me. And here's the thing. Obedience and comfort, let me tell you, they are going to butt heads, okay? Very often, they butt heads. And if you're not careful, what's going to happen is God's going to bring these amazing opportunities into your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to listen to the giant. And the giant of comfort is going to tell you, not now. You're looking good. Things are good. You know, don't rock the boat. That's going to be too hard. That's going to require too much time. So really what we are going after is don't allow the giant of comfort to talk you out of God's best for your life. Okay? In the story of David and Goliath, I know Pastor Kurt set it up last week, and probably most of us are pretty familiar with the story of David the shepherd boy who slays Goliath, right? Well, the Philistines and the Israelites were at war, and they were both on a hill, and there was a valley in between. And the Philistines said, let's do this. Let's do one-on-one combat. We're going to send our mightiest warrior, you send yours. So they picked Goliath, probably the biggest, tallest, probably hairiest, scariest, you know, warrior they had. And so they're waiting for the Israelites. Okay, you choose someone and let's have these guys duke it out. Well, what happened is for 40 days in 1 Samuel 17:16, it says, each morning and evening for 40 days, Goliath took his stand and made his speech. So every morning, Goliath would go forward. He would insult the Israelites. He would blaspheme God. He would try to get them to engage in some form of battle. And the Israelites wouldn't do it. And the funny thing is what they would do is they would get up every morning and go through the motions. So they would get up. They would put on whatever battle gear they wore. They would go grab their weapons. They would go to their post. But what they would do is then they would stand there and they would listen to the giant. And the giant would say, you know, you can't defeat me. And then the Israelites would agree with the giant. Oh yeah, he's right. We can't agree. You know, we can't beat him. He's way too big. What are we doing? I don't know. We need to rethink our strategy. Let's go back to the tent and have lunch. Maybe tomorrow. So this went on for 40 days. In 40 nights, they allowed the giant to call the shots. They allowed the giant that was in their life, in their pathway of going forward, to basically dictate what they did. And unfortunately, we can act the same way. We just don't always see it. You know, we have our churches. We're all comfortable. We have our battle cries. God is good. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, we gather in our churches, and we're all very comfortable. But meanwhile, all of us still have giants in our lives, right, that are still taunting us, and yet we don't engage to take them down. We shout the battle cries, we look like we're ready for battle, but ultimately, we stand there like the Israelites, and we listen to what the giant says. Oh, you can't do that. That's too hard. That's too difficult. Over Memorial Day weekend, we were doing a project in the backyard, and so we were hauling stones in a wheelbarrow past this evergreen tree to get to our backyard. We probably made about like 50 bazillion trips. And on one of the trips, early on, my daughter and I noticed there was a nest with three baby birds in the evergreen tree. And I don't know if they thought we were bringing them the food, because every time we passed by, they were like so loud and they were chirping and squawking and their beaks were open. And we were like, we took pictures. We're like, oh, they're so cute. And so, you know, we would check on them for a couple of days. Well, then on Memorial Day, we wanted to show somebody the birds and we said, hey, come on over. We're gonna, you know, look at these baby birds. They're adorable. And they were gone. And we were so bitterly disappointed. I mean, they didn't even say goodbye. And I felt really, like, let down. Like, I should have been there to video, you know, their first steps or flights or something. And I was like, oh, they're gone now. But it was time. They had to leave the nest. Now, because I'm just a geek this way, in my mind, I was like, you know, I'd never had baby birds to watch and observe like that. And so when they were out of the nest, I was like, well, did they fly out of the nest? Like, how did they leave the nest? You know, so I'm Googling all this. And I thought it was really fascinating because they were, the way they explained it was that baby birds, while the nest is comfortable and it's, you know, warm and cozy, that it is in the best interest of the baby birds to leave the nest as soon as possible, because they're very susceptible to predators when they're in the nest. I mean, a loud squawking nest of birds is very easy to find for predators. And so, contrary to popular belief, it's not just the mother bird, but it said that the father and the mother work from sunrise to sunset to get the baby birds out of the nest ASAP. That's the goal, to get them out of the nest as soon as possible. So not only can they be safe, which kind of seems ironic, right, out of the nest, but so that they could do what they were born to do, and that's to grow and to move and to soar and to fly. And that's exactly our picture, a picture for us of our life in Christ. I mean, the nest time is good in the beginning, right? I mean, there is a baby bird time where we are warm and cozy in the nest, and it's like Jesus is bringing us our worms, you know, and our baby, our new spiritual baby bird needs are being met. But the goal isn't to stay in the nest, right? That is not our end goal either. Jesus wants us out of the nest as soon as possible. He wants us doing and going and living and growing. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So he's got a plan for each and every one of us. He's calling you to a greater purpose, but it's going to be outside the nest. But here's the good news, okay? He's going to help you. When the baby birds get out of the nest, some know how to fly, but most don't. But when they get out of the nest, it's not like the mom and dad are like, okay, see ya, good, you're out of the nest, you're on your own. They're there to help the birds, they're called fledglings, and they're there to continue to help the birds grow and do what they need to do. And God is that way, right? When he asks you to get out of the nest, he's right there next to you, helping you to grow so that you will one day fly. He's not asking you to slay your own Goliath in your own strength. What he asks of us is that we trust him as we leave the nest. You know, David did not defeat Goliath with the stones and the slingshot. I believe the victory was already won when David decided to step out in trust and face Goliath in God's strength, not his. In the whole story, this is my favorite verse from 1 Samuel 17:45. It says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. If this was a broadcasting event, you know, like ESPN, like, tune in, David facing off against Goliath, I think after the victory, there definitely would have been some sort of commercial like this. It would say, David's victory over Goliath is made possible by trust in God, stronger than human effort. Trust in God yields supernatural results. For all the Goliaths in your life, apply trust in God. See, to defeat the Goliaths and to defeat the giants, we have to change where we're looking, right? We cannot fix our attention on the problem. We have to move and focus on the solution, which is Jesus. Because when you fixate on a problem, when you focus on just the problem or the Goliath in your life, I don't know about you, but I get freaked out. It's like you begin to fixate on it. In my family, we call it twirl. You get yourself all in a twirl, and you can't think, you can't focus, you're overwhelmed, you're almost paralyzed, right? It doesn't seem like it's ever going to work. You can't find and figure out what to do. I mean, it's really a horrible place to be because you're really paralyzed, okay? And so when you change, and now you're going to fix your attention on Jesus, who's the one who can bring the giant down, right? Something begins to happen inside of you when you begin to trust. You know, there's now a hope that begins to spring up, and there's a strength that begins to spring up in you. There is nothing comfortable about being a follower of Jesus. But when we can learn to focus on Jesus instead, and know that he is the source and that he will take our Goliath down and that we can step out of the nest into the uncomfortable in his strength, then we're ready for battle. So what can we do? How are we going to avoid the comfort zone? Okay? How are we going to keep our faith from falling prey to the comfort zone? Because it's deceptive. Now, in the book, Louis Giglio, in Goliath Must Fall, he lays out four truths for avoiding the comfort zone. And we're just going to kind of quickly touch on them this morning. And he goes into much more detail in the book. So it's really, really powerful. The first one is, remember that faith thrives in discomfort. And I know that's not exactly what you wanted to hear. Yay, discomfort. Love being uncomfortable, right? No way. Who does? Nobody does. But praying for people who hurt you, praying for your enemies? Yeah, nothing comfortable about that. You know, tithing, giving of your money, your hard-earned money? Not comfortable. Putting others' needs ahead of your own, resisting sin? None of that is comfortable. In fact, if you choose to follow Jesus, okay, it is countercultural, just about everything. And that's going to catapult you into some uncomfortable stuff. But here's the important thing. That's the sweet spot. That is when your faith thrives and grows in that place of holy discomfort. Because when you walk in that, right, you're having to walk in trust. You're having to walk in faith. In Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, when we accept Jesus, God asks us to identify with all that Christ did, which is his crucifixion and resurrection. The crucifixion is when we lay our life down, right, and give our life over to him. The resurrection is when we receive that eternal life, you know, new life. The problem is that one is so much more fun to identify with than the other, and I think you could figure out which one, right? It's great to identify with the resurrection part of our walk. That's where we get forgiveness of sins, you know, peace, hope, joy, love. You know, it's the crucifixion part that God asks of us that we're like, yeah, I don't know about, not so fun. You mean I got to lay my life down because he laid his life down? I got to die to self because he died to self, right? That's not easy. But here's the thing. Our faith, it suffers when we fail to fully embrace what it means to be a follower of Christ. Because if all we do is just embrace the comfortable, right? We've totally lulled ourselves into believing that, well, being a Jesus follower is like, ooh, it's like a little club, and it's cozy, and it's warm, and it's comfortable. You know, but what happens is your faith is at risk of being stagnant, right? And being complacent, because it's not ever being stretched, right? Because that's where it grows. It's not ever being stirred. So we have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And when you do, it is amazing what will happen. Your faith will become real. You will begin to walk into a whole new realm that before was completely blocked by the Goliath of comfort. A second truth for avoiding the comfort zone is we remember that the point of our lives is the fame of Jesus. We're so self-centered. Oh, shoot, it's not about me. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, and you can be a little sassy when you say it, and just be like, it's not about you, you know, okay? I don't hear any. Okay, louder. It's not about you, you know. Okay, you're pointing. I didn't say point. Just if you need to talk to me afterwards, you know, oh, shoot, it's not about me. You know, in the beginning, it's very self-focused. When we first come to Jesus, it is very self-focused. It's personal, right? Because nobody else can do it for you. You've made this personal commitment. You've now reconciled yourself to God through Christ. And it is kind of all about you. You're growing. You've received forgiveness of sins. You've got this grace, this love. God might begin to heal you in certain areas of your life, right? So it is very self-focused. However, the Goliath of comfort wants to tell you that it stays about you, that it's all about you, right? The Goliath of comfort wants you to believe that your entire faith journey is now about you. My growth, my comfort, my happiness. And that's why it's so dangerous. That's why the Goliath of comfort is so dangerous, because he talks you out of God's best for you. I mean, your very salvation, think about it. Your very salvation isn't even really about you. It's not possible because of you, right? We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we've done, can do or not do, right? It's God in his goodness that loves us so much, that wanted to make a way for us to be with him. So it's not even anything, you know, just even that isn't even about us, right? Even just our salvation points to how good God is and displays his glory. So we have to remember that it's not about you, but it's through you that God is glorified. Your life brings him glory. The army of Israel was totally complacent, right? For 40 days, they're just like, maybe tomorrow. And then David comes on the scene and he's like, what is going on? Who is that jerk? And why is he so hairy? You know, what, are you guys going to listen to this? And David's like, you know what? As long as I live, you know, you will not defy my God. I'm going to take you down. And so when David approached Goliath, it was for God's glory, right? God enabled and empowered David to take down Goliath. I mean, here's an entire army that wouldn't touch this guy for 40 days, and here comes a shepherd boy with nothing but rocks and a slingshot, right? That points to God's fame. It wasn't for David's fame. It wasn't for David's successes. You know, and that's how our life is. When we overcome impossible odds by faith and trust, that points to God. You know, and in turn, what that does is that leads other people to God. Third truth, we can avoid the comfort zone when we align ourselves with God. If you ever feel like you have this kind of vague, maybe unsettled faith, maybe you thought it would be different than what it is. You know, you thought, I thought it would be a little more powerful. I thought it'd be a little more impactful, or, you know, I thought maybe it'd feel more real to me. Chances are you could just simply be out of alignment right now. Because when you align yourself with God, when you make a conscious choice to seek Him, and press into Him, let me tell you, He will start to mess with you. He will. He may all of a sudden start to ask you to do certain things or not do certain things, right? He's going to begin to work in you and through you, and that's not comfortable. So when you align yourself with God, He will keep you out of your comfort zone. Now, you can choose to keep God at arm's length, right, and settle for the good, or you can choose to align yourself and get the best. And there's no secret formula to staying aligned with God. I mean, it's not like this complex, you know, thing. It's basically talking to God, prayer, which is conversation, reading God's word, studying God's word for yourself, you know, getting into God's word on your own, and then exercising your faith. You know, it's one thing for us to know how we're supposed to live. It's another thing to actually live how we're supposed to live. And so when we do those things, we stay aligned with God, and He will mess with you, which I know is just what you wanted to hear. The fourth truth that's going to keep us or help us avoid the comfort zone is that we have to remember that life is short. I have to imagine back to the whole broadcasting thing of David and Goliath that, you know, after David won, you know, the reporters, they're always right there on the scene at those sporting events, like shoving the mic in people's faces, asking all of the, you know, stupid questions. What emotions are you feeling right now? Do you feel better now that you've taken Goliath down? You know, I'd imagine too, though, that they're going to want to talk to David's brothers who were there, and they totally didn't believe in David. They probably would want to talk to the army of Israel and ask them some questions like, hey, you guys regret sitting there on the hill for 40 days? Doing absolutely nothing? Because they had the power of God with them too. It wasn't like David was the only one. The nation of Israel, they're God's chosen people. God was with them. They could have moved forward if they wanted to. But they didn't. Not only were they afraid, right? But it's just so much easier to, you know, avoid conflict and to stay comfortable. And so each day they would go, oh, let's rethink this. Maybe tomorrow. You know, as long as they're not coming after us, let's just go back to the tent. Maybe tomorrow. And we, it's the same danger and risk for us, right? Because we can waste our days just as easily by saying, you know what, I'll completely commit and obey God in the next season of my life. Maybe when the kids are out of the house. You know, I'll fully obey God when I have X amount of money in the bank, because then He won't be able to mess with me about my money. Like, we can outwit Him. You know, or I'll obey God when I'm older, when I'm done having fun. I can remember a period in my life and in my journey. It was between my senior year and my freshman year in college. It was probably this overlap of about a year where I was in negotiations with God. And I had the good. I mean, I had committed to Christ, and I had the good thing going. But I felt God, you know, calling me to do more and to fully lay down my life and to step into the uncomfortable. And I can seriously remember thinking to myself, you know what, God, it's just really not a good time for me right now, because, like, I'm doing God a favor. I can't focus on you 100% right now. So maybe later I'll fully kind of embrace the uncomfortable. I got, you know, I got just started college. I got to figure out what degree I'm going to pursue. Like, instead of consulting God, that would have been the perfect time. I'm like, you know what, God, maybe another day, you know, maybe when I've got things figured out. And part of that process was because I knew that in the back of my mind, he would start to mess with me. I knew that if I fully committed and said, okay, I will step into the uncomfortable, and I don't know if I was ready for that. But here, now being a Jesus follower, here's the crazy thing. After, well, let's see, I'm not going to add it up here in front of you, but it's been a while. I'm going to say close to 30 years. It's like, I wish I would have made that decision sooner. I wish I didn't stay in negotiations with God for a year. Because when you decide to step into the uncomfortable, that is when your faith explodes. That's when it becomes real, when you begin to walk every day. See, the goal of our faith is not to live a comfortable life. The goal of our faith isn't to just get a good job and, you know, to stay all warm and cozy in the nest, right? The predator knows you're in the nest. The goal is to say, God, here I am, use me. If I'm going to lay my life down to become a Jesus follower, the next step is for us to say, God, you can use it how you want to use it because I've laid it down. See, God has a plan to move you out to help other people. And it'll be for his fame and glory, and he's going to use you. In the book, this is how Louis Giglio, with regard to the Goliath of comfort, listen to what he says. He says, I have a deep conviction that the greatest regret any of us will ever know is that of standing before Jesus knowing that we lived too safe, too comfortable, too short-sighted, realizing we were gluttons for pleasure when we were supposed to be lean warriors for others' freedom in Jesus' fame. See, your calling goes beyond your comfort zone. And I wish I could tell you it didn't, you know, but it's when we get into the uncomfortable, we have to trust, right? And when we trust, that is when our faith grows. And the enemy is going to try to keep you sidelined as long as possible. And that's why comfort is such a deadly giant, because he wants you to waste your days, right? He doesn't want God to start using you now. It's like if he can keep you sidelined as long as possible and waste as much of your life as possible, he's going to do that. Because here's the thing, he knows that at the minute that you step into the uncomfortable, your faith explodes. And he doesn't want that. I liken it to the secret sauce. Like, once again, it's like your faith could be good, right? But then you put that secret sauce on, which is the uncomfortable, and all of a sudden, it's like, now this is really good. Huh, why didn't I put on the secret sauce sooner? This is delicious. That was what my son Evan used to say. Instead of delicious, it was lalicious. And you know how those things stick. So feel free to use lalicious now in your families. Any type of growth is going to be predicated by discomfort, right? We see it in every area of our life, every arena. You know, do you remember your first job? Totally uncomfortable. Even career advancement, right? Taking promotions, taking on new responsibilities, changing companies. It's like whenever I've started a new job, you know, do you always think, oh man, if I could just be a month into this, where I already know the processes and I know what I'm doing and I feel comfortable. You know, I mean, any kind, maybe you left your company to start your own company. You know, I mean, all of that, periods of discomfort, your physical health. Right? Anytime you break through a plateau physically to get more endurance or to get stronger, more stamina, whatever it might be, right? You physically have to push yourself through a period of discomfort. Relationships, sometimes they only get better when we push through discomfort. You know, maybe it's an estranged family member or a marital situation. Maybe it's just even a best friend with a misunderstanding. And you know that the only way to get around this is to have an uncomfortable situation, you know, an uncomfortable conversation in order to move past that. You know, so it's not just our faith journey. I mean, every single area of our life grows when we embrace the uncomfortable. So will you consider getting comfortable with the uncomfortable? You can look on your connection card. On the back, we have some next steps listed, and those are just suggestions to help you face the Goliath of comfort that is in your life, because we all have the Goliath of comfort in our life. And maybe, you know, maybe you're here and you're like, I'm still checking this whole God thing out. I'm still in negotiations like you were, you know? And maybe your step of stepping into the uncomfortable is even just that initial like, okay, God, if you're real, I'm going to take that one step towards you and trust you. You know, maybe it's to stretch your faith. You know, so many things come into our life. You know, maybe it's to take that job that God's nudging you towards. Before I was married, I remember driving into church one day, and there was a little girl, and she was walking, and she was holding her dad's hand. And all of a sudden, and I saw it coming, I'm like, oh no, it was like she wiped out, and we had a gravel parking lot. I mean, she had to have only been like maybe 2 years old, and she started crying, and it's like, oh, you know, I could see it on her face, and I could see the pain, and so she's crying, and I could see the gravel, and I'm like, oh, that poor little thing. And so I saw her dad start to go down, and I thought, oh, he's gonna pick her up, you know? He didn't pick her up. He bent down and he got to her level and he looked her in the eyes and he brushed the gravel off of her knee, and she was wearing a little dress, and he straightened her dress, kind of wiped her tears, stood her back up, took her hand again, and kept walking. And just like in that moment, the Holy Spirit quickened in me, like, that's the uncomfortable. You're going to fall. It's going to be scary. You might get a few bruises along the way, but I'm not going to let go of your hand. I'm your daddy. I'm still going to be here. I'm going to walk you through the uncomfortable. And so this particular song, Oceans, it's been such a powerful song for so many people, because it was like our theme song for a few of our church journeys in the past. And so it speaks to that whole idea of, you know what, stepping out and trusting. And so if you haven't checked one of the next steps, maybe during the song, you know, listen to what God is prompting you to do. But just remember that if you fall, he's going to brush the gravel off of your knees, and he's going to take your hand.